Well, you know, my thing, it's something you notice about me, but my thing is I never got to be Mary. Or Joseph. I was telling my wife yesterday, I was third African villager. I'll chat to my African friends later about that, you know. So, great, hey, Mary's loving it. If you were writing the Christmas story, we had a long reading. We deliberately had a long reading. If you were writing the Christmas story, who would you include? And who would you miss out? Which characters would you think, oh, people will believe that one? If you're making it up, if you wanted to make up the birth of Jesus, if you wanted to make up the nativity, who would you include and who would you miss out? What incidents would you include? Because my feeling is that actually, if we were making this up, we would not include half of what is actually in the gospel story. We would miss so much of it out. We just would not bother with lots of it because it is so amazing. Unique persons. We kind of grabbed all of the greatest showmen because of the unique persons in this film. Because when you start to really unpack the Gospels, when you start to really unpack the story of Jesus, you realize that God uses the most bizarre people. I hear you're looking for freaks. I love that phrase. Just look at the person next to you. We've got three unique persons in our reading this morning. Three unique persons. The first one is a unique priest. You might have read this story. You might have been to church every year your whole life. You might have been in all the different Christmas plays at school, etc. And I bet if I asked you who is the first living person to appear in Luke's gospel, you would not have known that it was Zechariah the priest. Because we all think it's about Mary, don't we? Or about Joseph, or about baby Jesus. And of course, it is about them. But Zechariah gets this big, big chunk. And he is unique. He's an older guy. Well on in years, the scripture says. Don't look at the next person and tell them. Well on in years. We don't actually know how old he was. We don't know how old Elizabeth was. But they were probably 40-something. Older, isn't it? Sorry, anybody who's touching 40. Older. Zechariah is a unique person. He's part of one of 18 or 20,000 priests who live in Israel. And they live all over the country. And their job is all over the country to look after the spiritual welfare of the nation. And once or twice a year, he would be in the temple in Jerusalem. And once or twice a lifetime, he would get to officiate. He would get to do the incense and fill up the bowls and lead the prayers. He would get to do that. And in our story, in Luke's gospel, that is what Zechariah is doing. He is focused on his job. We've got a few focused people in here this morning, making sure this goes well. Making sure the sound is good. Making sure the kids know their lines. Making sure the adults know their lines. Everyone's focused. No one is expecting God to turn up. Am I right? I mean, that's the problem with Christmas. I have the same problem every year. I have honestly got more than one sermon, but I say this one every year at Christmas because we're not expecting God to turn up. We're so busy with tinsel and tea towels and the shepherds that we're not expecting God to turn up. And the church has done this thing. We can look at the world and say, oh, the world has downplayed Jesus. The world has stopped singing carols. The world has stopped doing that. But hey, let's forget the world. That's not about us. What about the church? We've made angels into little girls and fairy wings, not huge otherworldly warriors who, when they appear, you lose your voice for 5 months. Oh, 4 months. Just doing a bit of biology quickly there. Amazing. The fact that God, even this morning, in this place, can show up. But Zechariah, he is a unique priest. He's focused. He wants to show the young priest how it's done. He wants to say, look, this is what it's all about. He's not expecting Gabriel. But Gabriel has not been seen since Daniel chapter 8 or Daniel chapter 9. And he's not expecting Gabriel. He's not expecting this to happen. And yet here he is. Here he is. And God meets him. And he is full of doubt. Are you full of doubt this morning? See, if you are, that does not stop you coming anywhere near God. In fact, I would say doubt is almost a requisite for faith. A little bit of doubt does you good. Is this story true? Have a look into it. Hey, tell you what, why don't you come on our Alpha course in January? Is this story true? Because if it's true, it's worth putting your life into. And if it's not true, let's go home. But if it's true, it is amazing. Zechariah is full of doubt. Let me give you a little hint. If the angel Gabriel appears to you today at some point, just do what he says. Okay? I mean, Mary gets it, doesn't she? Angel Gabriel turns up, says, this is what's going to happen. She goes, okay. But not Zechariah, not the religious one. Not the priest. But God shows up today. Even in the middle of your doubt. Even in the middle of your doubt. Say, tell me what to do. Show me what to do. If God shows up today and he's calling you to something, you know he's on your case, to put something down, to pick something up, to go somewhere, to stop going somewhere. If you know God is on your case, then listen. Put your doubt down for a second and say, yeah, I'm gonna trust you. We've got the unusual and the unique priest. And we've got the unanswered prayer. Zechariah features heavily, but so does Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is one of those most amazing characters in Scripture that most of us kind of just wander over. Mary gets told she is highly favoured, doesn't she? But Elizabeth and Zechariah are told they are upright in the eyes of God. Upright in the eyes of God? Who'd take that? I mean, I would have that. If an angel appears and says, Nick, you are upright in the eyes of God, that means God is looking, doesn't it? And he's seeing this woman who is amazing. But she has carried this pain her whole life. Let's assume she's 40. She's well on her knees. She's 40. Because she can still have children. But it looks like the days are done. And what Gabriel says to Zechariah is, the Lord has heard your prayer. What prayer? He's just been doing incense stuff. What prayer? The prayer for a child. She's barren. She can't have a child. And what she carries in her life is shame. She carries shame. God sees her as upright. It's very important to see. But in her society, she's married to a priest, a godly man. They should have a brood of kids. Mostly boys. Because that's how you spot God's blessing, isn't it? And their culture is. That is one of the things Luke has shown us is look at the amazing women in this passage. Look at the amazing women. Look at the amazing followers of Jesus from Luke 1 all the way to the end. Look at the amazing women who follow Jesus. And here is Elizabeth. And she is sad because she is ashamed. And she is ashamed because her prayer has not been answered. Got one of those prayers? Got one of those prayers that you go, I'll ask God about that when I get there. It's sometimes called the dissonance gap, where we've got problem here and we've got faith here, and somewhere there's a gap in between the two. And we're challenged all the time, going, Lord, why don't you answer my prayer? And in one sense, I've got no hope for you, in that I can't promise you that God will answer your prayer today. I know for Elizabeth it happens, but I can promise you that he will take away his shame. I can't promise you that he will give you hope and a future. I can't promise you that he will give you life. That's what Jesus comes to bring. One crying out is John, and one proclaiming life is Jesus. We've got this unanswered prayer. If you're carrying shame this morning, this is me. I'm ashamed of my past. I'm ashamed of my life. I'm ashamed of what people have done to me. I'm ashamed of what I have done. That shame can be taken off you this morning. Pushed away. And joy can come. Your unanswered prayer. And then we get to the classic, the teenage pregnancy. We get to Mary. We don't think of Mary as being 14 or 15. Most of us actually, so often we think of Mary as being 9. or properly adult. But she's not. She's not. Scripture doesn't tell us how old she is, but we're fairly certain. She's 15, 14, something like that. And she's a teenager. And she's a virgin. and she's female. And she is the most unique of all of the people in our story this morning. She is the most unique person. Because why would God use her? Why would God use you? Because he can. Because he can. And because he wants to. In each of these people, there is a "this is me" moment. They are who they are. But at the same time, there is an encounter with God who says, I can bring change. I can do something different. Zechariah still has his doubt, and yet he trusts God. If you're full of doubt, come on, Arthur. Elizabeth has her shame taken away. And Mary, she trusts God. She trusts God. She goes for it. She says, let it be. Come on. Let's see what happens. Let's see where this goes. What is God saying to you this morning? What is God saying to you this morning? Even at Christmas time, he wants to speak into our lives. Even at Christmas time, he wants to break in. If you're thinking, well, this is me, this is all there is, I believe God's got more for you today. I believe God's got a promise for your life. If you want to hear the miraculous, we'll have more of that at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Come and hear what God can do in people's lives today. What's God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Worship team, come and join us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are still looking for unique persons. Lord, that you don't want us all to be the same. You don't want us all to be one sort. But that you want actually to encounter people who want to meet with you. Lord, I thank you for the stories in Luke's gospel. Lord, thank you that they are so true, that they are so real, and that they inspire us to encounter you. Lord, I pray today, as we continue in worship, that your hand will be on us. In Jesus' name, amen.